Hallelujah. This year we have been studying on the holiness of God and living holy. Amen. And so our reference text that we have been using for the year, amen, glory to God, has been coming from "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Amen. And Peter, where God challenged us to be holy. So this month we begin a series on giving God the gift of a holy life. And we started out by the first message of that series was holy living, the life that God desires. And we use as a reference text for that message, 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, verse 29. And it says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering and come before him, worship the Lord and the beauty of the holiness." If there's a gift we learn that God would, that would be at the top of God's wish list, it would be that we be holy. So when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we receive the gift of eternal life. Also, we receive the Holy Spirit to enable us to walk out this new identity. And because of this new identity, we have a responsibility to live in a way that is holy and acceptable to God. And so another verse of scripture that we use for that message came from Romans, the 12th chapter and the first verse, where Romans, where Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." The second message of the series on giving God the gift of a holy life was titled, "Christians are prepared by God to live holy." Amen. And we saw in Ephesians, the first chapter, and about the third verse, it read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Amen. And we saw also in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, glory to God, it says, "Who has saved us," the first chapter and the ninth verse, it says, "who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world," before the world began. So what we learned in that second message was that we must believe God has prepared us for a life calling, our holy calling, our holy life. The reason many Christians, as we learn, don't attempt to pursue the holy life that God desires is because many don't think that they can. And so what we learn in that message is that we simply don't believe that we have what it takes. However, we learn, according to Ephesians and according to the Word of God, we have what we need to live holy. God has prepared us to live holy. So first, we saw that we desire that holy living, the gift that God desires. And then the second message was Christians are prepared to live holy. And then the third message was holy living, give the gift of sharing the gospel. And we use Mark, the 16th chapter in the 15th verse. And it read, "And he said unto them, go in ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every Christian." What we learned in this message was it was not merely a suggestion that God was suggesting, but it was a divine command. So our response, or one of our first responsibilities as followers of Christ, is to share the good news, because the gospel, it transforms lives. It carries the message of salvation. It carries the message of forgiveness and reconciliation with God. So when we declare this message verbally, we are fulfilling the Great Commission. And so we also learn in that message that sharing the gospel is not limited to our words. It must also encompass our actions, reflecting the power to cause one to live holy. So the one gift that we can give God and people at the same time is the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, is what we learned in that message. So when we lead a sinner to accept Christ, we give God the gift that he desired, and then we give the person who was a sinner the gift of eternal life. And so on last week's message, we learned about holy living, continually experience the joy of the Lord. And so when we saw in John the 15th chapter, and we begin at the 9th verse, John the 15th chapter, and we read verses 9 through 12. And it read, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things," he said, "have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." So we saw in last week's message, Paul reminds us in Philippians 4:4 to rejoice always in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. So this call to rejoice is not contingent, or it's not based on our circumstance, how things are going or not going. It is a command based on the fact that we are new creatures in Christ, or our identity as children of God. So when we anchor our joy in him, in the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, what happened is we discovered that it helps us rise above every circumstance and situation, rise above any doubt, any sorrow, any uncertainties, or anything that is opposing our joy. Remember, we learned J-O-Y, joy, mean that Jesus owns you. So today we want to close this series this month with a combination of the previous messages. So when we take all of these messages, holy living, the gift that God desired, Christians are prepared by God to live holy. Holy living, give the gift of sharing the gospel. Holy living, continually experience the joy of the Lord. Well, we're going to put all of these together, and the title of our message today too is a combination of the previous messages, and our message today is holy living is a true sign of discipleship. Discipleship is the accepting, the sharing, and the showing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So let us ask ourselves, when was the last time I allowed Holy Spirit to use me in the role of discipleship? It's not just when we give out tracts, and we do give out tracts because that's sharing the gospel. We learned that in one of the other messages. Not just talking to someone about Christ, but who are we teaching right now? To make disciples, we must be willing to teach others. Not so much in the fivefold ministry. It doesn't mean that we are called to preach the gospel. We should still be mentoring or discipling someone. Hallelujah. So if you are a parent, you should be discipling your children. If you are a Christian, you should be discipling some new person. Some of us, we put a lot into trying to get people into the body of Christ, but we don't do very much after they come in. We don't make the investment. And I need you to know that discipleship, I've learned, is a long-term investment. I believe the minimum investment that I must make in discipling someone is about 7 years. And so we need to know that God has called us, amen, to not just share the gospel, not just talk about Jesus, but also multiply the body by building other people up. So as we are looking at this message today, think about this. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? And as a disciple of Jesus Christ, that meaning that we are multiplying ourselves. That meaning we are building other people up. And you got to remember, a lot of times in our helping people and building people up in the body of Christ, they may do things that we may feel that was not good. We may feel like we got let down by that person, or they're not stepping up to the plate, or they're not, don't seem to be progressing in a way that we would like them to progress. We may not see the growth that we'd like to see. So I need you to know that, yes, you're going to see that. Look at what Jesus went through when he was building his disciples and discipling those around him. We always are going to have the times where the devil is going to cause us to see things in other Christians that cause us to give up in our pursuit of helping them grow. But we know that, glory to God, as we pursue a life of holiness, we have the patience and the long suffering in which to continue in spite of what may look like a useless cause. When we are helping people or trying to help people to grow, we still maintain the course. We still stay at it. I've seen over the years where some people, it just seemed like they're never going to get it. But I know that the Lord of Lords and King of Kings is still in control. And I know that he's blessed them with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places through Christ Jesus. And I know he want me to continue to encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ. He want me to continue to build people up, even when it seems like it is a lost cause. How many of you have tried to do discipleship and things seem like, you know what, maybe, you know, it wasn't my call to disciple this one. Maybe it wasn't my call to disciple that one. I need you to know, as disciples of Christ, it is our responsibility not to only just get people into the kingdom. Most of us don't have an issue with sharing the gospel and giving out tracts and trying to witness to people. However, once they come into the body, we soon lose love or patience or whatever. We don't have the same seal that we had when we was trying to get them to come in the kingdom of God. So as I said, let us ask ourselves, when was the last time I actually discipled someone? And, you know, the thing about discipling, it's ongoing. It doesn't stop just because a person lose their way, or just because a person doesn't respond properly, or just because a person respond to us in a way that we don't like. Amen. We don't stop discipling because Holy Spirit does not stop discipling us. And there's always someone that is trying to be used by Holy Spirit to disciple us. And I thank God for that, that people don't just give up on me because of, you know, maybe I didn't do something they wanted me to do or how they wanted me to do it. But they continued the course of trying to build me up. And I thank God that today I can stand and know that there were people that could have given up on me, but they didn't give up on me. And I'm able to say that I am who I am because of disciples in the body of Christ discipling me. And so when we look at our life, we ought to see that God has used disciples to disciple us, whether it be your pastor, whether it be another brother or sister in the body of Christ, or whether it be someone, amen, who always rub you wrong, amen, and called you to pray. Hallelujah. But we should always remember that God has someone there that's constantly building us up to help us grow in our faith. And one of the things that we get is when we go to church, it is the responsibility of the person that God is using to speak to try to build us up in our walk, to disciple us. And that's the purpose of going to church. That's the purpose of reading your Bible and listening to messages, is so that we grow as disciples and are able to be used by Holy Spirit to disciple others. Hallelujah. So sharing the gospel with the lost, that's the foundation, no part of holy living. But discipling now, discipling those that are in the body already, is the building up part of holy living. So some Christians, as I said, will make a bigger investment in evangelizing the lost than in discipleship of those who already know Christ. How many of you right now would be honest to say that there are some people in the body of Christ that I have issues with, that I struggle with, that I don't feel like helping, I don't feel like doing? It's like the more I do for them, the less they appreciate what I'm doing. Amen. Well, I need you to know that that's just how it is. Amen. That's just how it is. However, it does not excuse me. It does not excuse you from showing the love of Christ, from living a life that is contagious and causing people to want to know the God that we serve. Hallelujah. We don't throw away our patience with people just because they don't progress at a rate that we want them to progress. Amen. Hallelujah. And so let us not throw in the towel just because people are not growing as fast as we want. Hallelujah. So as I said, we must have a spiritual balance. We must be willing to bring people into the kingdom with the help of the Holy Spirit. And then we must be willing to build them up in the kingdom with the help of the Holy Spirit. See, we are to make disciples. But the first thing that we must do is be a disciple. And as I said, discipleship is an investment in others. It brings us out of our world and into the world of others. Discipleship calls for an investment in ourselves first and foremost by us studying and applying God's word, then spending time with others to help them grow. As I said, how much time do we spend with other Christians with the intention of helping them grow? Hallelujah. So holy living, it will make it easy to disciple others because holy living causes us to be committed to being a disciple. So as we live holy, our commitment to discipleship will make it easy for us to disciple others. Hallelujah. Some people, they have this routine. Some Christians have a routine. Their life is a routine. And they do this way. They do that at that time. They do the other at the other time. And if God wants them to disciple others, then it's like, Lord, if you can fit into my routine, the opportunity or to disciple, then I will be available to disciple. But I have my life that I'm living, and my life doesn't give me room to help other people. Amen. And so let us be willing to break our routine. I realize, and I've noticed it lately in my life, that I can't have a routine. The only routine that I can have is my devotion with the Lord in the morning. That's the only thing that can be routine. Everything else is subject to Holy Spirit prompting, leading, and guiding. Amen. And in a lot of cases, I'm led to do things with other people that build them up. But at the same time, I'm looking at, man, I got this to do and that to do. Either I'm going to do the schedule that I make up, or I'm going to live the way in a life of obedience to Holy Spirit when he lead me to get about my Father's business. Hallelujah. So I looked up the definition of discipleship. And by definition, discipleship, a Christian disciple, is a person who follows Jesus Christ and accept the gospel and commit to spreading the good news of salvation through him, through Jesus Christ. And so another thing that I noticed is Christian discipleship is the process by which disciples grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the process of growing, that we are equipped by the indwelling Holy Spirit to overcome anything that life presents to us, whether it's temptation, whether it's disappointment, whether it's trials or tribulation. Whenever we allow Holy Spirit living in us to do what it does, it will help us to overcome and be more and more Christ-like. We will be able to deal with what life presents to us in a way that we maintain our testimony, in a way that we continue to shine the light of Jesus Christ. So this process requires us as believers to respond to Holy Spirit prompting. And Holy Spirit will prompt us to examine our thoughts. It will prompt us to examine our words. It will prompt us to examine our actions and compare them with the Word of God to see if our life is lining up with the Word of God. So this is going to require that we be in the Word daily. We got to study it. We got to pray over the Word, and then we got to obey it. Amen. Hallelujah. And when we do that, we should be ready to give a testimony for the reason of the hope that is within us. Hallelujah. According to scripture, being a Christian disciple, being one that disciples others, it involves, first of all, personal growth. And this personal growth will be characterized by a holy life. Hallelujah. It will be characterized by us living a holy life. So in a world increasingly saturated with distractions, we have distractions. And a lot of people are having their own personal interpretation of just about every subject there is, including the Word of God. And so the call to live holy, as the Bible shows us, the outline in the Bible, it stands as a light in the midst of all of these, all of our interpretations and all of our distractions. When we pursue a holy life, we stand as a light against all these dark thoughts and interpretations and so forth. Amen. So whenever we begin to pursue a holy life, when we accept the call to live a holy life, as the Bible shows us, holy living, as I said, it not only will transform us individually, but it will also serve as a tool, amen, that God used for discipleship. Because what happens is when I'm living holy, when you are living holy, we begin to influence others in such a way that they would desire to know why we're able to live like we're living, why we're able to have the joy, the love, the patience. In other words, they will see the fruit of the Spirit in our life, and they would want to know, how are you able to do that? But a lot of times in a lot of Christians' life, people don't see no fruit of the Spirit. They don't see no patience. They don't see no long-suffering. They don't see no kindness. They don't see no meekness. Amen. Because we are so moved by everything. If someone says something we don't like, man, we show it in a moment's notice. Amen. Instead of knowing that all that live godly in Christ will hear, well, the Bible says suffer persecution. That meaning that we may hear something about ourselves from somebody that we don't like. But that don't mean that we respond in a way that does not show the love of God. Hallelujah. We respond in a way that we try to see if what that person is saying is true. Because sometimes people may say some truth about us that is true that we don't like. But if we look at the truth of what they're saying, amen, then we can like go to the Lord and say, Lord, evidently some people are seeing some things about my life that is not indicative or don't show my holy life. It doesn't show that I'm a disciple. It doesn't show that I'm a Christian. Lord, help me, amen, to make adjustments so that they don't continue to see this negativeness about me. They don't continue to see this flaw in my life, this spiritual flaw, but they will see a person in hot pursuit of you. Now, I know this is not spiritual, but I remember years and years ago that some brothers in the church was talking, and they were saying how I was not disciplined in my eating and that I was getting this big belly. And you know what I did? Instead of saying anything to those brothers or even approaching those brothers or even being upset about it, what I said is, if this is hindering them from seeing that God is working into my life or growing in my life, they will never, ever be able to say that again. And I began to lose that belly. I began to lose that weight. And I, to this day, and that's been years and years and years and years ago, they could never, ever say that about me again. How many of us, when people say things about us or see things about us, instead of us looking at our life and seeing how this might hinder our ability to be a disciple, amen, because what it shows was that I was not disciplined. It shows that I was not using discipline. I was not allowing Holy Spirit to help me to use discipline in taking care of my temple. And so I was like, well, they won't never say that again, because I will allow Holy Spirit to show me how to take care of this temple so that whenever I'm sharing about Christ, they don't see that as a hindrance. They don't see that, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I see that you're not disciplined in your own life, you know. So this is what I'm saying about discipleship. It It means that we're constantly making adjustments. If there's something that hinders our testimony, if there's something that causes us to present to the world anything other than a person who are in hot pursuit of the Lord, who are trying to live holy and a disciplined life. And I believe that a lot of people don't understand what the word disciple means. It means the disciplined one. We're disciplined across the board in every area of our life. As a disciple, we are disciplined. And so I realized at that time I wasn't being a very good disciple. And I said, you know what? And there's other things people have said about me. And I have made the adjustment and allow Holy Spirit to cause me to be disciplined in those areas. You know, this is a wake-up call for a lot of people, because a lot of people say that they're Christians and they say that they I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. However, what's not seen by what they say is a disciplined life that is backing their words. And so what we want to do is, no matter where we are, we all, the Bible said we all come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. However, we don't have to stay that way. We don't have to remain in a state of not being disciplined. We have everything that we need to be disciplined. We have Holy Spirit. So we can now look at this, our life. I'm not saying make a New Year's resolution, because I don't believe in making resolutions, because I believe commitment is a lifelong thing. It's not something that I'm due this year. Amen. No, commitment is a lifelong thing. Instead of making a resolution for a year or whatnot like this, make a resolution for today. And every day that we make up, make a resolution for that day. Because Jesus said that we are supposed to take it one day at a time or live one day at a time. So I try to discipline my life on a daily basis. So today I'm going to be disciplined. Today I'm going to resist being angry. Today I'm going to resist being moved by anything other than the Spirit. A lot of us move by every little thing, but glory to God, hallelujah, we have the ability to only be moved by the Spirit. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We can resist anything that the devil brings our way. However, we need to know that all of that will come under our pursuit of living a holy life. Hallelujah. So when we embody the principles of holiness that we see in the scripture or come from the scripture teaching, what happens is we as believers can effectively disciple those around us. And this will cause us to lead other people to a deeper relationship with God. And so the essence of discipleship lies in relationship, and nothing speaks louder than a life of a believer who strive to imitate Christ. Amen. Who strive to have the relationship that Christ had with his Father. Amen. We are reminded that in 1 Peter, the second chapter and 21st verse, he reminds us that Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. Amen. To follow. So when believers live lives marked by holiness, and a holy life will always exhibit love, patience, integrity. We will always be forgiving. We will always be a person of self-examination. What happened is we become a living sacrifice or living testimony of God's ability to change people. And what happened is we want to live a life that calls people to want to experience what we experience. Amen. So when people see this, this life will inspire others to pursue a similar path or a dissimilar life. Amen. And it will cause people to begin to ask us questions, and it helps us to bring up conversations about faith. Amen. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to live in such a way that we inspire people to question. Hallelujah. Not question whether or not we're Christian, but question how we're able to live like we're living. Amen. In a victorious manner, in a way that is loving, patient, and kind. How are we able to do that? So when we do that, we will be able to be used by Holy Spirit to be a person who can disciple others. There's a lot of people that want to tell others what to do, but I've learned that you preach, you know, in one of the ministers' class that I took, it says you ought to preach 24/7, and every once in a while you use words. In other words, we was taught to let our life do more preaching than the words out of our mouth. Amen. And so this is what we do as disciples. As disciples of Christ, we let our life disciple others. We let our life cause others to question the faith that we have, not question that we are Christians, but question how we're able to be overcomers and how we're able to live victorious in a life that is constantly bombarding us, that is constantly bringing distractions in our life. How do we continue to stay the course in a sense? Amen. Hallelujah. So when we do that, when we demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, as I said earlier, what happens is we not only enrich our own lives, but we have a positive impact on people around us. People are often drawn to the peace that we have and the joy that we have when we're living according to the Bible, according to the Word of God. Amen. So as people witness or see these virtues in our life, as when they see them in action, when they see love in action, when they see patience in action, they see kindness in action, whenever they begin to see peace in action, and they see us in self-control, when they begin to see these things, amen, they are more likely to seek, amen, our guidance. They are more likely to get us to help them in their own spiritual walk. Amen. And so we don't just show this to sinners. We got to show this to our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we need one another. We need one another. And sometimes we just think that, listen, that these Christians are supposed to just be perfect. So who is helping them to be perfect? A lot of times we look at our brothers and sisters in Christ, well, why can't they do this? Why ain't they this? And why ain't they other? They Christians, ain't they? Yeah, we all are Christians, but we need one another. This is why the Bible says that God has given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teaching for the perfecting of the saints. We all are in a life of being perfected. And so whenever we understand this about our brothers and sisters in Christ, then we can be more patient with them, and then Holy Spirit can help perfect us. But a lot of times we are so busy seeing what's wrong with people and not looking for how we can be a tool in Holy Spirit and in the hands of Holy Spirit to help build that person up, to help that person have a better testimony for Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this is what holy living will do. It will bring us to that place of discipleship. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, as I said earlier, it extends beyond our personal transformation. Amen. But it should also compel us to be willing to serve other people. Hallelujah. And so discipleship is just not so much of you and I just sharing knowledge with other people. But what it is, it's an invitation that we live in such a way, an invitation to have a relationship with Christ. We are not only just sharing information, but the information that we're sharing, it should be the type of information that causes a person who hear what we are sharing to pursue a relationship with Christ. However, they need to see that. So as believers, when we demonstrate holy living, what happened? We create an opportunity to share personal testimonies of God's faithfulness in our life. Amen. And we begin to show people that if they stay the course, if they follow the word of God, he can work in their life like he's working in our life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good, isn't he? And so one thing about discipleship is that we must be willing to teach, and it enables us to teach and equip us for growth as well as others. So holiness and discipleship, it goes hand in hand in the context of teaching. As individuals, when we live according to biblical principles, what happens is we naturally become teachers. We naturally become people who share the wisdom and the insight that we have gained from our relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse. I'm not going to read it, but you can write it down and read it. It encourages us to, as believers, to teach and admonish one another with wisdom through scripture. Amen. So we do this by engaging in discussions and asking Holy Spirit, who can we mentor? What believers can we mentor? Mentoring doesn't mean that we have authority over people. Mentoring means that we'll use as a joint of supply to build up people so that they can learn how to in turn build up other people. So what it does is it causes us to, first of all, deepen our understanding of the gospel, as well as help other people to deepen their understanding of God and his ways. Amen. Hallelujah. So in my closing, I want to say this. We looked at 4 messages this month on giving God the gift of a holy life. And we went through showing that a holy life was the gift of God desire. Amen. And then we saw that we are prepared to give God this gift. And we saw that in living holy, it's going to cause us to be excited about sharing the gospel. And because of this holy life, we're going to always be joyful. So people are going to see a person who are in right relationship with God, who are constantly trying to give God a gift. And so in doing so, amen, we pursue this holy living. So in my closing, holy living is not just a personal pursuit or endeavor that we do. It is an active, always going, always active way that we should become. We should become contagious in our walk, our life in the Lord, that it invite others to experience the blessings of a life devoted to God. We should be a blessing to others in such a way they experience what a person living a holy life can do in their life. Amen. And so this will cause people to see our life, or they should see our life and desire the Christ and life that we have. Would we say that people are able to look at our life and say, man, I sure like to live, you know, with the peace and the joy that you have, with the long suffering and the patience that you have, with the caring and understanding that you have. Hallelujah. So through the examples set by us as believers pursuing a holy life, what happens is relationships are built. The character that we display is that it becomes an act, or acts of service rendered, how we treat people, how we serve others. Amen. And what we share in our teaching. Amen. And what will happen when we are sharing and when we are serving others, being led by the Spirit, when we are sharing with others, being led by the Spirit, it will make disciples. It will cause discipleship in our life to grow, and it will cause others to grow in their discipleship. So as the body of Christ, when we strive to live in holiness, we become catalysts, amen, for transformation of our community. We affect the world around us when we strive to live a holy life. And what happened is we fulfill the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. So as we embrace this calling of holy living, what happens is we as believers will reflect God's holiness first and foremost, because we will show his love. We will show his grace. We will show his long suffering. We will show his patience and kindness. And what happens is we will ultimately guide or build others in the body of Christ in their walk in Christ. Amen. And so when we do this, we will fulfill the Great Commission. So as I said, this message encompasses all the messages that we've learned in this series from giving God the gift that he desire, from knowing that we are prepared to live holy, from sharing the gospel because we are living holy, from living a life that is full of joy. And people don't want to see sad, negative people. They want to see people that is joyous, even in the midst of their trial and circumstances and situations. And what this will do is all of those things is what discipleship look like. It looks like us desiring to give God the gift of holy life. It looks like us knowing for having a confidence that we are prepared to live holy, so therefore we pursue living holy. It encompasses, amen, us sharing the gospel. It encompasses us living in such a way that, amen, the joy of the Lord will be our strength. And Jesus says, these things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be filled. Amen. So just know this. Holy living is the bedrock of all things God. It gives the gift that he desired. It gives people the help that they need to give God the gift that he desired. Discipleship is the true sign of living holy because it shows that we are committed in our relationship with Christ. Hallelujah. And our commitment enable us to help others in their walk with Christ. And God desires this of us. So let us, amen, examine ourselves and be honest. And don't let the devil tell you, it's been a while since you did any discipleship. So, it might just be a waste of time now. I need you to know it's never too late. Hallelujah. It's never too late to let Holy Spirit use us to be a disciple and to be in the ministry of discipleship where we help others to grow. God bless you, and I pray that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you this month about giving God the gift that he desired, because this is the month of giving, amen. And so let us, amen, remember that there is a gift that God desired. And if we are going to please anybody, we want to please God. So God bless you as you pursue being his disciple by living holy and being that example that other people can look at and know that they don't have to give up, that they can press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ because they see you pressing towards the mark. God bless you. Hallelujah.